AKA Powders, we're talking three of my favorite subjects. Directors that don't get enough credit. Mick G. We Are Marshall. That's our movie. Matthew McConaughey. Who doesn't love talking about that sexy boy? And sports movies, namely football. Join me. We're going to rock and roll. We're getting into We Are Marshall. Let's go.
Camera speed. Down production. Take one.
Action.
AKA Patters. So are we in the zone of doing two drops a day forever? People, AKA Patters, we're getting close. But I am Peter A. DeLuca. Welcome to the podcast. If you're new here, if you're listening on Spotify, we need reviews, we need stars, we just need some traction from you, from the AKA Pad Army on Spotify. And if you want to further your exploration of Peter A. DeLuca and my ideas and the work that I do and the people I collaborate with, well, just go to akapad.com and you can sign up. You can sign up for some free, amazing Wolfpack trading cards. Wolfpack is basically my made-up, like, werewolf wolf army. And it's a bunch of characters, but you get some free trading cards, and you get the weekly newsletter when you sign up. And the link is at the top of the site. If you're new to the site, there'll be a little pop-up, like a little entry pop-up. You can sign up right there. And I don't know, maybe bookmark the site, mess around, learn about me. I put as much as myself into the website as possible so that you get closer to me. And here we go. We're talking We Are Marshall. A movie, a football movie, whose real life story is as depressing and interesting as this movie portrays. This is one of the rare times. Excuse me. This is one of the rare times where, I was watching the movie. And I was pulled into it immediately, just the way it was shot. Matthew McConaughey gets you going. Anthony Mackie, Ian McShane. We know Ian McShane from Carnival and Blackbeard in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. But I'm immediately pulled in by what's happening on screen. And then tragedy. I mean, the tragedy happens in the first 10 minutes of this movie. And we get one of the most visceral, deadly, sad post-airplane crashes, or the aftermath of a tragedy where the entire town basically runs to where this airplane went down and took out almost the entire football team. And it is hills and wooded and fire, and it's so well shot. You almost feel the heat, but you also feel for anyone, anyone basically that had someone on that flight, like whatever character was connected with someone on that flight, and Mick G and crew, James Linden, he's our screenwriter. These guys do a great job in setting that up and selling it, and it takes us a little bit. It takes us about 30 minutes to get to McConaughey, and McConaughey needs to, win people over, and he's a little off-centered, he's a little bit wacky, but he loves football, and he's like the only guy that volunteers to coach this team based on the tragedy and reputation that the team has. So a part of my, like, interest as I'm watching this movie is, it's like, man, like, I need to just know more about this. And this team doesn't really have a winning season until 20 years after the 1970 plane crash that we get in the first 10 minutes of this movie. The seasons that precede this, I mean, they are two or three win seasons, and they're not, they're not in, like, the upper conferences of college football. They later get there, but this is truly a movie about perseverance, sticking to your guns, and doing what's right, and just not bowing down to the universe. You know, to when people are chosen to leave this earth, don't bow down. The idea and what they would want is to fight and to continue and to march on, is not to cancel the next season. There was a point in this movie where we build the team, we build the training. We Matthew Fox, who's the assistant coach, I believe he's the offensive coordinator. I believe so. Or he's like, no, he might be special teams coach. But we're with his character too. And this his real life person, or his real life counterpart, quit football after the follow-up season. So he quit football after the 1971 season. He's traumatized. And AKA Patters, we effing feel it. We feel the trauma. And we feel sorry for him when he has to do things. When he is when he's asked and called upon. But we get it. So, with a little bit more about the deep research of this movie, and we're going to get into how I think this movie should have ended, because I did hit a point. But when I was looking into this team and going through all the seasons on Wikipedia, I'm not joking, I was so upset and disappointed when the 1971 season, the season that's portrayed in this movie, wasn't a winning season. So I go to the next one and the next one, and it drove me nuts. And I feel like as a story, as an institution, you know, this university is built on this tragedy, but also the two-decade rebound. And this is really where how institutions are built and how lore is built. And it's not frivolous. It's not made up. These are the facts. I just feel this movie should have ended with the entire season just starting. See, it's hard to portray a win, even though they win this game. But I think they win the second or third game. They might have opened the season with two losses. But the movie should have ended with the start, with the kickoff of the 1971 season. It should have been a movie about people overcoming the tragedy, training, learning the game, dealing with a new head coach dealing with some of the locals and his family getting assimilated, a lot of those sports movie tropes. But it doesn't. And then we continue, I think, for like another 40 minutes. And this is really what I feel like where the general audience may have lost the movie. And it kind of kills the word of mouth, because this is not a movie about another team playing another season, like another version of this team. This is a movie about the continuation and the start of the next season. And I'm sure there's back and forth about that, right? I'm sure from a producer level, from an executive level, you need some football in, you know, the last 30 minutes of this movie. We need to wrap this movie up with some football. Mick G shoots some amazing football. Mick G has those nice, like, yellow sunsets, those just nice daytime shots. He expertly handles this movie. Shane Herdbelt is our cinematographer. Masterful. And my other really big revelation with this movie wasn't that Matthew McConaughey is over. Well, I guess like my last two revelations is Matthew McConaughey is overcast in this movie. We're going to coin that term right here, guys. Overcast. Meaning, we want someone that kind of looks like that they belong in the role. This supermodel, this Zoolander of a man that we have coaching a football team that's just beautiful to look at, it's hard to buy. And when you look up the real life guy, his real life counterpart, he looks like a football dude. Overweight, little grumpy looking, gray hairs. Looks like a football guy. Looks like a guy that played the game. Got some really good hits, right? Number two is So during like the 31 days of dread, upcoming this October, might as well plug a upcoming a couple months down the road. But for the 31 days of dread, the last few years we focused on modern day horror, and that really unlocked this concept, this idea, or contention that modern cinema runs through modern horror. Because it's the last of the experimentational cheap genres that we can get into. And not only is comedy dead, but drama is dead as well. But for the seasoned filmmaker, and we saw this with Invincible, we see this time and time again. For this nowadays, modern day, the seasoned filmmaker gets to showcase their professional talents with a sports movie. Not just with story, but visually. Because these sports movies consistently look the best. Sports movies as a subgenre might be the best looking genre in film history. Just pound for pound. Per capita percentage nonsense, right? This movie's great. And it's tragic. I'm telling you, there's so much that happens in the first 10 minutes of this movie. You're taken aback. And we have some good high school drama. We have some melodrama. We have feelings. We have characters really trying to move on from a tragedy that messed up a whole town. And a big shout out to Christopher Beck. Great music. And like I said, this movie stacked top to bottom. You can argue when the movie should have ended, what it should have built to, but it really doesn't matter because we do care about these characters enough to watch them continue, to see how the game goes, so to speak, and see. And we're very curious by the end of this movie to see what happens to their lives. So that's where it's important. This part of film is education, and I felt highly educated with this movie. AKA Pat here, the film buff. I don't know if I did I ID myself earlier? Maybe not. Guys, rocking and rolling, we are going to get into The Passenger next episode. This is a must listen.
Okay,
you guys have to check out that one. Let's go.